Let's pray for just a second. Jesus, we are so in love with you. Lord, I just ask for your presence to be here with us today. Thank you, Lord, for us being here. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that you shed on us every single day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to feel your presence, Lord. Help us to grow to know you in such a way that is beyond what we can think of now. Jesus, we love you. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Lord's kind of put this on my heart for a long, long time. Well, actually, a couple of months, something like that. They taught us in seminary that you should probably start your sermons with a joke or a story or something like that. That kind of breaks the ice for a lot of people. Well, I usually don't do that, but I heard this story, and I wanted to share it with you all this week. There was a guy that played the bagpipes, and he plays them at funerals, military funerals, and such as that, and just was really very, very good at it, really loved it. Well, somebody called him up and said, we've got a guy that was a veteran, that is a homeless man, and he's being buried in a common gravesite out in a small town in West Virginia. And he says, they asked him if he could come and play the bagpipes. And he goes, well, sure, I'll be more than happy to do that. So he starts driving out to West Virginia, and he's driving along, and he gets kind of lost. And he's got not too much time before the funeral. And so he's driving around, and like a typical man, he doesn't ask for directions, doesn't stop. You know, we've got to conquer the travel. We've got to make it to the destination. And so he's going along, and he's trying to find his way. And, of course, in West Virginia, I don't know whether they don't believe in cell phones or what, but the reception there is usually not very good. So anyway, he was trying to figure out where he was going, and he finally felt that he had found the way to the gravesite. And then he looks at his watch, and he's about an hour late. So he figures, I'm going to go. I'm going to play the best I have ever played to honor this guy. So he drives, and he thinks he finds it. He doesn't see the limousine, and he doesn't see the burial party or anything like that, but he sees the site. And he sees the workmen, you know, up there at the site, and they're kind of taking lunch right now. So he drives up to the site and parks, gets out, gets his bagpipes out, and he goes, and he's decided in his heart that he's going to play the best he's ever played. So he's standing there by the side, he looks down, and he sees they've already put the vault cover on the vault there, and he starts playing. And he starts playing. And as he's playing, the grave guys that were digging the hole come around and gather around and just are amazed by how beautiful this bagpipe is sounding. And so he continues to play the songs, gets to Amazing Grace. And by that time, all the workers have joined hands and they're all crying. And they're all weeping. And he's crying too while he's playing the bagpipes. And he finishes, and as the last note kind of echoes through the mountains, he puts up his bagpipe, walks, and starts to get in his car. And as he's getting in the car, he's listening to some of the workmen. And one says to the other, that was absolutely amazing. In all my 25 years of putting in septic tanks, I've never experienced anything like that. I like that story. At least I thought it was cute, and my ear is falling off here. I thought that was kind of a cute story, so I thought I'd share that with you all. I'm going to be talking about some things that have been the Lord, like I said, the Lord has laid on my heart. And believe it or not, it kind of goes along with the story I just told you. There's two perceptions that the Western Church has about life in Christ that just don't really jive with what the Scriptures say. And I'm going to go over one of them today, and the other one I'm just going to briefly touch on. One of the things that we think in the church is that, you know, we come to Jesus and we repent, and then we have to work on our lives after that to straighten everything out, to get it all straightened out before Jesus really accepts us. I don't think that's true. I'm going to share why I don't think that's true. The other thing is that a lot of times we in the church in America kind of think God's got a split personality. He tells us that he loves us tremendously, and then we seem to hear from him too that he's not happy if we do something that isn't right. It's got to be absolutely right. I don't think that's quite true either. Those are the two things that a lot of people suffer under when they come to Jesus, and they work their entire lives trying to solve or work out those two things. I titled this, and it's actually drag a zombie to church with you, not invite. That would be kind of cruel. It's drag a zombie to church with you, and I'll explain in a few minutes why I chose that title. But I want us to look at Romans 6 first. You guys are familiar with this. If you have your Bible, you can just read along with it. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? What does that first statement say to you? What is our relationship with sin now? We have died to sin. How many of you really believe that? Deep down, do you think you're dead to sin? What in the heck do we do with John then that says we sin? Let me explain some of that stuff to you. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What does that mean? If you've been through baptism, you know that it's kind of symbolic, but in another way, it's a statement. When this was written, when Paul wrote Romans, to publicly announce that you were baptized was a death sentence. Nero, Titus, and several of the other Caesars took that as a statement that you do not worship them. Therefore, if you didn't worship the emperor, it was a death sentence. So what does that mean in this day and age? Baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What does that mean? How do you live a new life? Aren't you the same old person? Don't you have all these things that you like and dislike? How do you live a new life? For if we have been united with him in a death like his, what's this united? Does that really mean that when Christ died, we died too? Or do we just think that he's the one that did it all for us? And that we didn't partake in it? Think about it for a second. What does that say? United with him. If we believe that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that the Bible is true, what is it saying to us here? We're united with him. Does that mean we're together? Or does that mean I just think that I knew he did the sacrifice? United with him in a death like his. So What does that mean? What is really being said here? For we know that our old self was crucified with him. How do we know old self was crucified with him? Some of us that come to church, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but I've been in churches, I've known people like this, come to church on Sunday, and the rest of the week it's whatever. Whatever goes. Well, what we're hearing right here is we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be as slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. We're dead. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "You're really dead." And if you have accepted Jesus as Lord, you died with him. Jesus didn't just die for you. He died as you on the cross. So that you're no longer living under the law of sin, but you're living under the law of the Spirit if you need to live under a law. The Spirit is what is living within us. And we'll talk about that in a minute. God doesn't call Just kidding. Okay. Zombies don't change. A lot of people drag their old zombie out with them whenever they do something wrong. Oh, I've always been that way. I've always been angry. I've always had a bad temper. That's not the new creation talking. That's the old creation talking. That's the old dead man talking. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe... Wow.
It is working.
It is working. I'm just going to leave it here. Okay? Now, if we died in Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. True? If Christ is raised from the dead, if he wasn't raised from the dead, what does Paul tell us? Our faith is useless. Christ was raised from the dead. We died with him. He died as us. We are raised from the dead. Folks, don't you realize there's only really two types of human beings in the world? Pre-cross and post-cross. Pre-cross, sinful man. Fallen. Post-cross, new creation. Brand new. Old man is dead. What one do you think God's going to work with? God isn't in the business of changing your habits. You are. If you want to work, change your habits. Because God is there with you, helping you do that. In fact, you're not actually the one changing yourself. God is changing you. He's calling you to be his image of the new creature. Creature that he made. When you died, you became the new creature in him. He's calling you to be something fantastic, something amazing. What we are not sinners struggling to become a saint. We are saints that are bothered by old habits, struggling against sin. It is no longer us that lives, but Christ that lives in us. And he is the one, if we join with him, that is going to do the work. Every time we do something wrong, what should we be doing? What should we be doing every time we do something wrong? My notes are in pieces now. I'll tell you what, the scriptures. What are we doing wrong? We are listening to temptation. Okay, this isn't us.
The old us is dead. We're no longer under the law of sin. What Paul has told us. Sure, sin happens. We do things wrong. But God is looking at the new creature that we are and saying, okay, you made a mistake. You've repented. You asked forgiveness. It's forgotten. Let's move on. The Holy Spirit is inside of us to tell us this. This is why the Holy Spirit is in. Do you realize that if Jesus, when Jesus was here, all of heaven was attracted to Jesus? Jesus was the attraction for heaven here on earth. A third of the Godhead dwells within us, the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus, that attracted Jesus, attracted him. Attracted is attracted to the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want to help but be with us. He wants to be with us. He so much wants to be with us that Jesus, another third of the Trinity, died so that that could happen. And Jesus went away so that the Holy Spirit could dwell in us. He told the disciples, if I don't leave the Paracletos, the Comforter, the one that walks with us, could not come. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk in righteousness. The righteousness of Christ became ours when we accepted him as Lord. We think highly of ourselves in saying that we accepted him. He actually accepted us. Exactly. So God doesn't see us as we were, but he sees us as what he is making us into. He sees the righteousness of Christ when he looks at us. So anybody that is saying, you know, we're all going to be judged at the end of the time, we are no longer going to be judged for sin. That has already happened. A lot of people, and I've heard it in a lot of places, are under the impression that we have to straighten ourselves up. No, we just have to break old habits. God straightens us up. He's already done it. When he looks over at our life, he's not going to see the bad things that we did. They've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. I know people that teach this. They don't consciously realize what they're actually saying. They're saying that God so disrespects what happened with Jesus that he tramples the cross of Christ underneath his feet and says, you have to do it yourself. You have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's not what the scriptures teach. It was done once for all. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. It is done. It is over with. Sin no longer reigns in us. The Holy Spirit and righteousness reign in us. Our calling is not to drag the zombie out and make it look better. Our calling is to let God transform us. God is in the transformation business. He's transforming us into the likeness of his Son. Jesus was the perfect example for what he wants us to be. Nick last week said greater works. Jesus is calling us to greater works. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And he treats each one of us individually. And each one of us have works to do. Now the works that we're doing are not from us. We are doing the works because we love him. And he empowers us to do those things. See, if we do works, the things that we get from God are rewards. That means that if you work, you get things. That's the world's concept. God's concept is, I'm giving you stuff so you can work. That's it. I am giving you stuff. It's almost like an oxymoron. You want to live, you die. You want to receive, you give. It's a paradox, but it's the mystery of God. The last is first. Okay, so you got to realize that everything bad about you was killed off at the cross. Can you put the Romans 6 up there with the Passion Version? It's always good to go to two or three different versions and see how translators interpret the Greek words. We have died to sin once for all, as a dead man passes away from this life. So how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One? We were immersed into union with his death. Is there more? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him. So when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him, a new creature. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Turn to everybody again and say, you're really dead. But you're now alive. Let's look at Romans 12 real quick. Tying us in with what I told you about the bagpipe player, his perception was wrong. And many of us have the wrong perception of our life in Christ. We do these wonderful things, play wonderful music and everything, we assume everybody's along with us. But we don't really realize what we have. It is not natural for us to sin anymore. It's unnatural. Sin is unnatural in heaven. So if we are partakers of the life of Christ, we are unnatural to sin. Sin operating in us is unnatural. Therefore, God is in the process of transforming us and breaking those old habits that we are tempted to do. That's the thing that we need to be working on, not on how we can make 45 ways of anger management. Anger died. No wonder it doesn't work all that well. No wonder psychology in this world does not really work as well as somebody being delivered or freed totally. What we need to realize is that God is present not only with us but in us. God is in us. I know that sounds all new agey and all this stuff and everything, but it's been taught from the very beginning that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. It just wasn't that God wrote a book and then went silent. Okay? Another thing from the churches. God did not go silent. The Holy Spirit still talks. He didn't become mute. He talks to you. He gives you what you need to overcome the things that are hard for you to overcome. He didn't leave you alone. When he says, take up your cross daily, he's not talking about suffering. Or I've got to pull through this all the way. What he's talking about is realize that you're taking the cross of Christ. You died to sin. Realize that when you died to sin, you're taking up your cross daily. You've got to remember that. You've got to have the perspective that I've been crucified with Christ. So today, I no longer walk in the power of sin. I can make mistakes. I can do things wrong. I ask forgiveness. I am forgiven. Because sin is no longer natural with me. That was natural under the world, under the law of sin and death. It's no longer natural. The natural thing is, I repent. God, help me not to do this anymore. And how many times did he tell Peter, if somebody sins, how many times did we forgive him? Come on, you've read the Bible. 70 times 7. That is a metaphor in Aramaic, which meant forever. There's no end to it. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. There is no end to the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. We've got to realize that everything bad about us died on the cross. That all we have left is the good stuff that God is calling us to. Calling us to be. Wanting us to be. Desiring us to be. Walking with him in the cool of the evening and talking to him. Feeling his love. Not having to earn his love, but feeling his love because he's chosen to give it to us. Walking in God's favor is something entirely different than walking in God's pleasure. Favor, if you think you're given favor because you've walked the right way and done the right thing, that's not favor. That's a reward. Favor is God saying, I'm just giving it to you. I don't care whether you deserve it or not. I've chosen to give you favor. Like I said, it would be a reward if you earned it. God does reward. But he's also a God that gives favor. Okay, Romans 12, if you can. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Change your perspective. Change your perspective. I no longer have to carry the zombie around with me and make it look good. I am now a new creature in Christ. No longer bound by sin and death, but bound by the love of God and the endowing power and enduring power of the Spirit. Get a new perspective. You got things in your life that you know you're not really doing right? Repent. Say, God, forgive me. And if you do it again tomorrow, do the same thing. Say, God, forgive me. Show me. Show me who, and I've told this to several people around here, when you're in situations like that, in trouble, having struggles such as that, ask God to show you, who are you going to be for me today that you weren't before this happened? That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to bring you through things. He doesn't want you to continually struggle, trying to beat down an old dead thing. He wants you to break those habits that you obtained from that, not listen to the temptation which calls you back to those habits, but listen to the voice of God within you that says, you are better than this, and I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to climb up a little bit higher than where you're at right now. I want you to be what I have envisioned you to be. A child of the King. A co-heir of Jesus Christ. Will you do that? That's what he's asking. He gave us free will so that we could choose. He didn't want spiritual robots. He could have done that. God will lift you to a higher place if you're willing
to do what he says. And willing, we talked about it earlier today in the class this morning. Two parts of faith. There's two parts of faith. Obedience and trust. Or hope. Hope was the better, I think. Obedience and hope. You hope, God gives you, let's do this, you obey. Those are things that God is calling us to. Okay, could you continue on with the next part of Romans? Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. Amen to that. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. Transformed. That doesn't mean change yourself. That means let me change you and make you into something that you aren't right now. Transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. A new perspective. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. This is what God's calling you to. You are a new creation. There has never been a race like Christians before. Before the cross, there never was. After the cross, it's a new creation, a new race, a new human being that has never been before. Yeah. In His eyes. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regarding to your former way of life to put off your old self. That's what I'm saying to you. Guys, you got clothes in your closet. Ladies, you have clothes in your closet. You have a brand new suit that looks really sharp on you. You have a brand new dress that looks really good on you. You have this old suit that you've been wearing for 25 years. It's got little holes in it, and you're constantly trying to sew it up and make it look better. You take it to the cleaners every other day just to try to get it to look in. It's beginning to get a bit faded, and it's falling apart. And if you give it to Goodwill, they give it back to you and say, we can't use this. So you got these two choices. Ladies, you got this dress in there. It doesn't quite have all the things on it it had before. It's, you know, drooping. The hem is coming out. New clothes? Old clothes. Which are you going to choose? They're both in your closet. Which do you want to choose? New suit makes you look really good. Makes you look awesome. Fantastic. Old suit? Oh, my gosh. Here he comes. Let's go to the other room. Okay? This is the choice you have. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted with its deceitful desires. Paul's telling you. You keep dragging this zombie out and dragging it to wherever you're going, especially to church, you're going to be corrupted by its deceitful desires. You can't change it. God's not working on that. He's working on the better you. He's working with the better you. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Change your perspective. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not in the old stuff. In the new stuff. And people are leaving, so I figure I better hurry this up. Okay. Okay. Can you go on to the next version? Okay. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man or the old man in the old self life. Which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. The delusions of the world. The enticement of sin.
Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him. You're in union with the Godhead. You're in union with God because of the Holy Spirit. You're not just waiting for the hanging on white knuckled until the good old by and by comes, until heaven arrives. You're to live with Him each and every day. He's living in you. Heaven is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. What did Jesus tell the disciples? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God dwells within you. When we come together, we're the new temple. Where does God reside? Where did God choose to reside on this earth? The temple. When it was destroyed in 70 AD, who was around to be the temple? The body of Christ. We are the new temple. God resides with us. What we should be experiencing is His presence. If you come to church each Sunday and you don't go out a little bit changed, then you need to come back into church and pray for a while. Every time you read the scripture, every time you pray, every time you get together and worship, your desire should be to experience the presence of God. Presence of God. If you're not getting that, if you're praying for an hour and a half and you don't experience the presence of God, all you're doing is complaining. God change this. God do this. God do that. God do this. God experience the presence of God while you're praying. You want to see things change? Be in His presence. Moses went in His presence, and what happened? Came back with his face glowing. He was transformed. He was changed. Change only comes in the presence of God. If you're praying and dragging that zombie in between you and God, God's not going to talk to a dead person. I don't talk to dead people. I talk to a living God. He deals with living people. He's dealing with you. And be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and in union with Him. For God has recreated you all over again in His perfect righteousness. And you now belong to Him in the realm of true holiness. Is there more? Is that it? Oh, okay, good. Okay, let's go. Let's see, that was the Ephesians one. Let's go to... Wow, like I said, my notes are gone now. Galatians 2:20. We'll do this real quick. I've been crucified with Christ. How many times does Paul have to tell us this? He has to tell it to almost every church that he's sending a letter to. Do you think it's unusual with us? No. It's too simple to believe, isn't it? If it's unbelievable and hard to believe, then it's got to be from God, pretty much. Because He does not do things logically. He can use logic, but, I mean, you're going to rescue Israel, let's part the Red Sea. Is that logical? I got some fish and some bread here. Let's feed 5,000 people. Is that logical? I mean, the disciples said, "Why? He's mad at us because we didn't bring lunch." Sometimes God does not work according to our logic. He works miraculously. What we call supernatural is natural for God. It's just not natural for our old selves. But we are a new creature. We should deal in supernatural too. I know, time's going crazy. I'm going crazy. All right. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith again. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Amen. Okay. I had about a dozen more scriptures, but I'm not going to go through those. I invite you to read the scriptures with a new perspective and see what Paul is really saying in the scriptures. Take time to not just read 14 chapters and say, I've done my thing for the day. Take time, read three lines and understand what they mean. Put them down in your heart. God, what does this really mean? Can I really be dead in the old man? Yes. Well, that's not logical, God, because I still sin. What does John tell us? He is faithful and true to forgive us our sins if we confess. And when God forgets something, he doesn't drag it up back to memory like we do. When God speaks something and does something, that's it. It's done. Guys, thank you for being patient and listening to me today. I appreciate it. If the band will come up and the ushers, we're running a little bit over. Please forgive me. I get wound up sometimes. My desire, my heart's desire, is to do what he's called me to do. And one of the things he's called me to do is share the gospel, the truth. And I try to do that the best I can. My desire is for all of you to have an experience of the presence of God every time you come to be with him or come to be with brothers and sisters. Let's pray for a second, and then we'll have some worship. If you need some prayer for something, please come down to the front. We'll pray for you. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for just being who you are. Just being the God who loves us. The God who wants us to realize that we don't have to earn your grace. That you give it freely. And we thank you, Lord, that we can walk out with a new perspective, a new realization of who you really are and who we really are in you. And then we'll be open to you calling us upward, calling us closer to you, calling us to that person that you saw back before the beginning of time, that person you wanted us to be, the one you're calling us to be. The one that you died for. And the one that you killed our old self off so that we could be. So just bless this offering, Lord. Bless those that are here. Bless those of our fellowship that are not here. Those that need healing, we ask for your hand to touch them now. Those that are needing in other ways, Lord, you know their needs. And we ask you to touch those. In Jesus' holy name.